Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to week 9. I'm spreading some peace and positivity this morning. There's actually scaffolding being built just across the road from me while I'm recording this, and it is doing my absolute nut in. But I'm going to remove that negative energy from my life and be positive and calm and peaceful towards you in the hope that that brings a level of joy to your week. It's week 9 of the Office Chair to 5K series. I cannot believe that that has happened. It's just come around so fast. Huge good luck if you're taking on week 9. You can, as always, find the details of those runs in the show notes. It's a little bit more running again, and there's no walk breaks at the moment. But personally, I find those a little easier. Cara is a little more nervous about them. You'll hear her talk about it a little bit in this episode. But we're also chatting about how on earth we protect ourselves from wet weather, because it has been a pretty apocalyptic here over the last week. It's been a total deluge. We are sharing ideas about how on earth you dodge the rain when this happens. Car's just been going out in her normal running kit, but of course she's becoming a runner now, and with all of that comes constant buying of kit that we all can't stop doing because things look so exciting. New things always look so exciting to us. So she's chatting about what running jackets and caps are good and getting some advice on that. We're also talking about, how's this for a segue, another way that we're getting drenched this week, if that doesn't sound too weird. We're chatting about sweat. Cara is concerned about being a very sweaty person. However, she is speaking to two equally very, very sweaty people. So we talk a little bit about embarrassing moments with that sometimes and how it can feel, but generally about the joy of wearing your sweat as a badge of honor. Enough from me. I'll stop wanging on and telling you about what you're about to listen to. Go and listen to it. Enjoy.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. and they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely pod squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout.
How's our podcast mascot, be known from now on?
How is
Pablo?
He doing?
Yeah. Oh, he's doing all right, thanks. We've been a bit of a sick household this week, so... both me and Dave have been in the house, so he's been very excited every day as we wake up and he sees that we're both here, which is very cute. But yeah, he's a little rascal. What a rascal.
Oh dear. So you've been sick. What's been going on?
Yeah, so I started feeling, so Dave got sick over the weekend and I was feeling a bit on and off. And then I did push myself to do my run over the weekend, but it was horrendous, guys. It was really hard. It was actually the first time that I had to stop during the run because I was no, push through. And I think I was at the second, 8 minutes. I got to 6 minutes and I was like, oh, fuck this. And it was only for about 15 seconds before I was like, okay, hustle. But it was more the mental side of that was the first time I had stopped, and I think that set off a little bit of it just knocked me off. Literally that 15 seconds knocked me off the week somehow, because yeah. I was like, and now I'm out of my strict routine of Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, do these runs, they feel great.
I'm totally with you. It's so weird, isn't it, that even though it shouldn't make that difference, and it's not normally how my brain works either, but yeah, I've had the same thing this week where I had a crap run on Friday, a fine run on Monday, and then I skived Wednesdays altogether. And yeah, it's making me I said to myself, I was like, right, don't let any of that get, you know, don't let any of it affect you. If you're not going to do Wednesdays, then commit to missing it. Don't try and cram it, just commit to missing it and pick it back up again on Friday. But it's really hard once you've broken. I can already feel myself, whereas I've actually found it relatively, fingers crossed, touch wood, everything else, easy to get myself out of the door for this particular training block. I can already, now that I've missed one, I can feel myself going, oh, you could just you've already missed one, just miss another one. And it starts to creep in, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's classic kind of diet behavior, isn't it? It's like, well, I've had one chocolate bar, I might as well have 18. It's just like, oh, throw it all out the fucking pram and don't do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tough.
But yeah, so I did, well, and then I kind of messed up because I completely forgot about my run on Wednesday. I just completely forgot about it. I was sick on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. I wasn't full blown, can't get out of bed, but I was under the weather and definitely fighting something off. And I was literally walking Pablo on his evening walk and I was like, oh shit, I completely forgot about that today. So then I did my run on Thursday instead. And that one was actually good. It was the pouring rain,
oh,
guys,
yeah,
which was not probably great for me fighting off sickness, but I did feel all right at that stage. And and it was actually good because at this point I'd done a couple of the 8 minute runs, and I think that I figured out that part of my problem was that I was doing the first 8 minutes down hill or flat, and then I was it wasn't uphill, it wasn't like a full uphill, but the second 8 minutes was at a small incline. So I switched my route around and I did the small incline first and then did flat second.
Nice.
And it felt great. I felt really proud of myself being in the pouring rain. One thing I did find, and I did see somebody, it was very interesting. It was the first time I think I've seen another person on a run whilst I've been on a run in my village. And this man was, he had such interesting technique. I was like, I was trying to figure it out, but he was honestly like a gazelle or something. He was like bouncing really high off the ground as he was running. And like, it was very, I was like, I look like an elephant and this man looks like a gazelle. I'm very interested by this whole.
I love what he you're doing. Been, it's so fun.
Maybe he was, maybe he has a very weird running style. Maybe he was like trying to do a particular
drill
session. Yeah. Maybe he was like, I don't know, doing spring running for 20 seconds before he does. I've never heard of gazelle run moves.
It's hilarious. I love doing that, but I do feel like a bad person for noticing because I feel like I shouldn't notice. But like I ran past a woman the other day who had the weirdest arm movements. Like there was so much arm.
Like not much from Friends.
Yeah, not much leg and a lot of arm. And you're thinking, surely that's like a waste of sort of energy going on. Well, there. Everything's going into arms.
That's the thing that I sometimes tell myself if I'm struggling leg-wise is like
make my arms go faster than I'll do doing the job.
Yeah, I pump my arms faster in the sort of hope that that will like speak to my legs a bit somehow. So maybe she was giving
I do think there's some science behind that for sure. Especially when you're going uphill, there is a thing of like pumping your arms and stuff. This woman was not going uphill. She was just on the flat and there was just, and it wasn't even like, it was just very strange. It was like Nordic walking or something, but without any sticks. Anyway, it's very strange. But yeah, people
Guess
have
who
odds
I saw in the wild running uphill this week.
Who?
Someone we know.
Esther Newman.
Oh!
I saw a Miss Esther Newman on my drive into work on Tuesday. I was like, oh, who's that? Who's that beautiful looking woman on the side of the road?
And
I was
like,
yes, she is. Who's this gazelle? No, she was actually more graceful than a gazelle. There was no bouncing. She was on a mission up London Road and she looks like she completed it. So that was quite, I still didn't make me remember to run, but I was like, there she is. It was lovely.
Yeah.
But no, this man, so it's in the pouring rain. My only thing that I think I've figured out that needs to happen in said pouring rain, I was fine with it, but it's just I think he was wearing a cap and I was quite jealous of a cap because I hate water on my face. And so I was having distracted by just like wiping my face constantly and being like,
being a glasses wearer, I am absolutely.
Oh, I take my glasses off.
Oh, I couldn't. I would bump into trees.
Yeah.
But I do struggle with the balance of, being able to see. I have occasionally, I remember in a race once, because obviously then you can just sort of look at the person straight ahead of you and you don't really need to worry about trees. But I have taken them off in a race when it's been pouring it down because I was like, I can't see anything. But yeah, the balance of, I really, really feel like we need to invent windscreen wipers for glasses.
Windscreen wipers.
Yeah.
But the cap, Cara, you could get yourself, because I have worn caps, but I have such a pea head that as soon as I put a cap on, for some reason, it reduces the circumference of my head to such a degree that I look like someone's just drawn me weird. So I look even, my head is even smaller. It looks so, so strange. But if you've got swishy hair, so if you have a cap, with swishy hair ponytail out the back, you're going to look like one of the swishy hair people. It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
I love a cap as well. I will back the idea of a cap because, let's actually talk about that because I quite like running in the rain and I think looking outside is much worse than actually being out in it when you're running. I'd so much rather run in the rain than walk in the rain. But I don't go generally for a jacket. Obviously, there are plenty of jackets that are good, but generally I just find them like a bit of a faff and they don't really keep me dry. But a cap is a go-to for me. I love a cap.
Yeah.
It was a wet t-shirt contest going on
Between
below,
you and the gazelle.
Virginie yeah. and the Gazelle. Yeah, he was in black with a jacket and stuff. And I was like, I didn't come prepared for this torrential downpour.
I mean, I do wear jackets. I've got a couple that I really, really like. And actually, because they're so, so thin and so breathable, they're not irritating at all. So I really like them. But one thing I was going to say is that I find running in the rain easier than running when it's not raining. Disgust.
Yeah.
And I wondered if it, I remember when I first started running and I realized this kind of weird phenomenon. And I used to think to myself, it just feels like breathing is easier. So is there just a bit more oxygen around if there's rain? But I'm not a scientist or a meteorologist.
This is the first time that I've ever thought about that, but I think I completely agree. Some of my best runs of my life have been when it's been raining and you start it going, oh, for fuck's sake, this is going to suck. And you end up being like, that was great. Yeah. I feel like maybe there is something to the fact that like the rain
brings more oxygen.
Or it's like
women in STEM,
in
please tell us.
Yeah. It's moisture in the air. Yeah, maybe that's it. I mean, and it's less to do with like when it's absolutely pelting it down. It's if it's just a drizzle, a fine drizzle, it's like, why is everything so much easier? You know, I don't know why that it, there is something. I feel like I should be Googling this frantically.
I feel like maybe it's kind of survival technique to a certain extent, maybe. Like your body is kind of like, oh, this isn't amazing. Like I'm making myself do this to a certain extent being out in the rain. And so it's like your body gets it done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, then I guess there's the feeling of like when you return from a run, when you've been running in the rain, you are like triple the hero you would have been if you'd gone for a run when it was dry. Because like, you know, fucking hell, that's amazing that you've just done that, right?
Yeah, I was absolutely dripping. Dave had to get a towel to like wipe the floor after I walked up to the shower. So it felt good. I felt like a child or something again that should be running through puddles. Yeah. It was quite liberating.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I think you're not worried about all of the things that you do worry about when you're walking. Like you haven't got anywhere to be. You're just out there running. You've not usually, you know, carrying bags or worrying about is my coat getting ruined or is, because you're already in stuff that you were prepared to sweat into and have to chuck in the washing machine anyway. So yeah, I think there is something quite liberating about it's a bit like going out.
Yeah.
I remember me and my friend Megan when we were children wearing like we'd put scruffy clothes on to go and like piss about in the garden when it was raining, and it feels like doing that. Yeah,
it does.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Basically, just pissing
caps,
about.
Yeah. Question: are there specific like running caps? Are we just talking like normal run of the mill caps? Because both for rain, I realized, but then it also got me onto thinking that I'm actually not that looking forward to running like during hot weather because I do get quite sweaty, but the area that gets sweaty and gets really hot is my head. I'm a hot-headed gal in lots of ways. but yeah, I get such sweaty like head and neck and things like that. And I get quite embarrassed when I'm out on runs because I feel like a lot of running kit is made for that. If your crotch is sweaty or if your underboob is sweaty or whatever, like there's ways to make that discreet. But yeah, my neck and my head, I always get a bit like, don't look at me.
Oh, Cara. Oh, my God.
So maybe join a cap will
join
help.
The club. And also, any question that starts, is there a running specific version of X?
The answer is yes.
Yes. Always.
There is. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm sure I can lend you a running cap, Car. I'm sure that I've got multiple. But the one that I've been using at the moment, and the reason that I would go for that over just like a standard cap, although a standard cap is absolutely fine, but like I guess the reason that I prefer that is because it's got a bit more breathability, which wouldn't necessarily want in the rain, but it's the one I've got, it's not on top, it's at the sides, so I don't think it would let too much rain in. But then also it's got like a slightly tighter and more like easy, like, you know, like a toggle bit of elastic with a toggle kind of rather than like a normal like velcro strap across the back, so you can properly like get it on your head and then it's not going to fall off and slip when you're running around. So
yeah, because I suppose wind is a factor.
Yeah,
it could so blow it off.
Yeah.
Find running caps tend to have, I think the peaks tend to be like a little bit less kind of peaky. So they'll cover your face, but they don't go out quite so far because of the wind thing. They tend to be stretchy and breathable, like Hol said, and a nice big gap at the back for a ponytail to poke out. But it's like there are so many benefits to wearing a cap if it doesn't make your head look smaller than it already is. in that, it keeps the rain directly off your face. It will keep the sun off your face in the summer, so you'll also love it when you are running in August and July and stuff. But also, if you are feeling a bit kind of self-conscious about a pink face, you've got a natural shadow. So that's, I have found it really, really useful. I have worn it I've got a Lululemon one, and I've worn it for races when either it's been really, really rainy or really, really sunny.
Yeah.
And it's super, super useful.
I didn't even think about super sun. That's such a good point. Of course, caps are great for that as well. That's their purpose in life.
It is their purpose in life.
Why do some people, like, why do I get such a hot face, even if I'm not, like, overly exerting myself? And,
I
see some people and they go, you know, I'm a bit sweaty under my underarms or something. I'm, like, dry as the desert sun under my underarms, but my neck is, like, rapid river.
It must just be. It's a weird genetic thing, isn't it? I remember going to a spin class where there was, I'm allowed to talk about her now, but she was the parent of a child in my kid's school. And she was in front of me and she was dry all over. You know what spin is like, right? So I would go to spin, and after spin, you could rinse me. Like I am absolutely sopping after spin.
Yeah.
And for me, when I'm doing spin is like my big sweaty test, right? So in spin, at about the 7 minute mark, I feel like a little small fountain start from the top of my head, because it's always head with me. And then it just go. And then as soon as it started, it's like, well, it's not stopping now. And even if I got off the bike and walked out, it would carry on for some time.
Do you just let it drip on the floor? Because when I was, as I've said before with spin, I'm always very interested because I have a towel and literally every 30 seconds I'm like, oh, and like wiping my neck and my head and stuff. Whereas, I really respect the people that just sit there and they're like, I don't even give a shit. This floor is going to be a lake by the time I'm done.
Yeah, I do. I've now learned to just, I let it go. But I do a big cleanup afterwards. And
normally they've got the spray stuff and the sort of...
The spray and the wipes.
I'm quite jealous of those people because they always look like serious sports people. They're like, no, sweating is a thing that happens and I'm not going to be ashamed of it. And I feel like that's where I need to get to.
Yeah.
Yes. And actually, I was going to say, as you guys were talking about it, I was like, you know what? I think I actually love sweating and find it really useful, because I don't sweat on the back of my on my head very much. Like I am I'm probably a classic sweater. I sweat lots from like underarms, crotch, feet, under boob, anywhere where you've got like folds of skin going on is where I will be sweating from. Sorry, that sounds gross. From within my folds, the sweat will come forth.
Keep it real though.
But my head, listening to you saying about like coming from the top of your head, I don't think I sweat from my face. And I sweat from like, I get like really sweaty at like the nape of my neck and like the back of my head, but I never sweat from the top. But oh my God, I would kind of love to, because you know, when you've been to that like spin class or done that run and then you're really hot and then you're walking back afterwards and then the air hits.
I love that feeling of it being like cold on the back of my head. Oh, it's lush. I would love that all over.
Exactly. It's just embarrassing because my hair, especially after spin, it literally looks like I've been in the shower. But I don't think anybody
is looking at you guys going, what?
No,
they're looking at you like you've been in a workout. How are you supposed to?
I don't. I think I look like something is wrong because I don't stop going red for hours.
Me either.
My hair is just drenched and it's just like, it's just grim. So I used to wear a cap, as you know, because we used to go to spin together. I used to bring a cap like for afterwards. And then try and put a bun through a cap to try and cover as much like sweat areas, the imposing areas possible. And also, guys, crotch. Like I have been burned so many times by leggings.
With shit
and
leggings,
crotch area. Because like back in the day when I used to try and go for a run or something in summer, I remember coming back and me and Dave were only like just recently together. And I was like, I'm so proud of myself. I'm such a fit gal. I go out for a run.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mm. And I got back and I looked in the mirror, I'd, you know, given him a kiss, and I think I'd spoken to people on my way home. And I looked in the mirror and oh my God, did it look like, not just wet myself, like I don't even know how to explain it. There was the biggest sweat patch all over my front, all over my bum. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This is so embarrassing. So now, yeah, bring a jacket to tie around my waist just in case. Yeah, so I wear a new pair of leggings, then...
Black leggings, jacket, never work. Because I did that grey leggings to spin thing, which was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Yeah.
Why do they make grey leggings?
I don't know why they make grey leggings. It's fucking ridiculous. But I felt like with the hair thing, I was just about to say the hair thing, that I've had a thing where I've been running with a friend who said, oh, you look like a 1980s footballer. Because I've got curly hair-ish, wavy hair, which then basically went wet. And it looked like I had a wet look perm is basically what my hair
looked like. I can't tell if that was mean or nice. I think if it's mean,
it's pretty mean. And if it's
nice, like, yeah, go for it. I just had to... 1980s footballer.
I mean, I had to accept it because what she didn't mean David Beckham. She meant Kevin Keegan. And you guys are too young to know who that is. But
no, I don't know who that is.
You will be like... Yeah, it's not someone that you want to, as a 50-year-old woman, you don't want to be likened to Kevin Keegan, ever.
I'm imagining like Justin Timberlake, but in the NSYNC days where he had like the sort of gelled, like corkscrew, curls.
Similar, but make it more of a mullet. Make it mullet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the 80s we're talking about here.
I'm gonna defend here, and I promise you that I'm not just doing because I've also been teased when I was in school for being a beetroot and then being really, really embarrassed of sweating. I genuinely am in an era now where like I do wear it as a badge of pride, and I'm not trying to say everybody just get over yourselves. I totally get how it can be embarrassing, but I really think that like I genuinely take quite a bit of pride if I'm really sweaty, because that makes me think I'm a fit girl, Carl, like you were saying. That makes me be like, oh, now if Doug sees me when I get back, he won't just think I've sort of been like going out for a run and just sort of like, you know, doing a little bit of gentle jogging and then pretending to, but actually just basically going to Costa in my active wear. Actually,
do you know what? It's absolutely
be like,
fucking
true. Hell, husband going for it. And then, in theory, he'll fancy me more.
I was going to say that, you
that
know,
doesn't work here.
When we used to be in spin, that's one thing. Because I do think that like the goddamn patriarchy, like I definitely feel like, there is a hot girl sweating and there is a not hot girl sweating. So the hot girl sweating, you got classic like gym goer, like she's really fit, her bum's looking good,
peachy.
And she's got a nice light sheen. and you're like, oh, she's been working hard, but she's fit. And then you've
got one of those water bottles where it's like, I don't sweat, I sparkle.
Yeah, something like that. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's what women should look like when they sweat. And then you see a real woman, sorry, all women are real women, but you know what I mean. You see like a woman who has had to go out for her run, even though she feels like shite in the rain or whatever it is. And you see her sweating. It's quite a different, it's quite different vision.
It is, it is a different vision, but that is so Instagram, isn't it? Because that's so wrong, because like efficient sweating, like sweating a lot is an indicator that your body is working really, really well. So it's, you know, I used to, like, I remember my brother saying to me, all our family, we all sweat like old fat men, right? That was his quote to me. And it's like, no matter how fit me and my brother would be, we would always sweat dramatically and like voluminously from the start of whatever workout we were doing. But yeah, it is. You should wear it as a badge of honor, because it is your body just going, crikey, you're fit and we need to regulate your temperature and we need to sort you out. And, you know, you're obviously working your heart and lungs, and you're supposed to, aren't you? Like when you're supposed to, like the like government guidelines is that you should basically make yourself out of breath three times a week.
And we're making ourselves sweat. How you can be making yourself out of breath and not be
not dripping, sweat. Dripping you have sweat. To sweat. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, I would love to have a conversation with one of the, with an I don't sweat, I sparkle person. And I'd like to know, because I'm sure there are some people that obviously like, doesn't like, you know, Botox can make you not sweat as much. Like, I guess there are various things that like, obviously you could have a rare condition like Prince Andrew. There are plenty of reasons why you might not be able, why you might not sweat as much. But like, even the hottest girls I know, like if they're really pushing themselves and not just sort of pretending to.
Well, this is what I was thinking. Because again, going back to the good old days with Spin, I remember going with Hull quite a few times, and there was a girl in there that would always sit ahead of us, and oh my God, was she gorgeous. Definitely ogling from behind, but in not a sexually way.
Express yourself however you want to.
I express myself just as long as she doesn't feel
objectified.
She doesn't feel objectified.
In a respectful and religious way.
Ogling way. Exactly. But her bum was great. And yeah, but I remember quite a few weeks in a row kind of going, and me and Hull looking at her, because in theory, she was like, she was spinning fast. But there was never any sweat. There was never a look of like being, you
out
know,
of breath or
out of breath, anything like that. And obviously when you're behind someone in spin, you can see kind of what they're doing on their little thing. And there was no level of competitiveness or anything. But yeah, she wasn't moving her resistance at all. And she was just kind of almost, I was like, why? Don't have to be here for show. Like, you're obviously a fit gal who had taken time out of her day to be here. And I did feel quite proud of us, because me and Hull were absolutely pelting it, looking like ogres. And I came out proud, because
Shrek
I was like,
Fiona behind her.
Except red rather than green.
Yeah.
And sorry, not to say you're an ogre, Hull. I'm just saying we were working hard and it was showing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were not worried about what we looked like in that spin class, that's for sure.
No, and I did wear it as a badge of honour then, because I was like, I feel quite, not in a pity way, but I do genuinely feel quite sad that maybe she is too concerned about how she looks or sweating or whatever it is to not push herself and to not get the most out of that £10 that she spent on her spinning and the hour of her day that she used there. And obviously everyone can work out the way that they want to work out. But I did end up, this topic made me think of that quite a lot, because I was like, come on, girl, let's get sweaty.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm but with you. What a shame to be like, and I know that everybody's got different fitness levels, but sometimes I do feel, being somebody in a bit of a curvier body, when I look at people who are thin in gym classes, I'm like, oh, and this may be completely wrong and unfair, but internal monologue, I'm like, oh, I wish that I didn't have so much to lug about. Like, I wish that I could be lithe and light on my feet and things. But yeah, actually, what a shame if you do, if if you are, you do have a sort of stereotypical like fit gym person body, but that you don't feel that you can actually do anything with it because you're so concerned about it that then you're, yeah, sitting on the spin thing, worrying about what if you get a bit of sweat on your Lululemon leggings or whatever. And it would be such a waste because if I had a gym body, then I would fucking love to be like lifting those weights and being like in the gym.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think it doesn't, and it, I guess it comes back to, it doesn't matter what shape or size your body is or what fitness level you are, we all sweat. And like you said, it should be kind of a badge of honor to have pushed yourself at whatever place you're at with your body.
Absolutely. So and fingers crossed it's going to rain next week then. So for your next what's Cara's next week looking like if she's done 8 minutes?
I've not even bloody opened it today.
I think it's hasn't. 10 minutes, isn't it?
10 minutes. Is two it? Lots of ten, isn't
Are
it?
Are we getting onto the big guns? Right, here we go. So Cara, this week you are moving on to week 7, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Your two lots of 10 minutes running and then 2 minutes walking. Same thing again. And then your last one is two lots of 10 minutes running, 90 seconds walking. This is your last week, though, of, I know, but I almost do think that, like, that maybe it might be easier when you've just got a block of 18 minutes or whatever it is to run. And if you do find it, like, that's 2 weeks away, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but if you do find that difficult, I'm sure you can repeat this week. But I almost feel like you're right about the fact that going uphill for your second lot of 8 minutes probably made it feel a lot more difficult, but also I think just the fact that, like, you've already done it. I did a bit of couch to 5k last year, and I found it harder, I think, than I'm actually finding doing this half marathon training at the moment, because there's so much to think about, like, to sort of psych yourself out where you're like, I'm only halfway through my splits kind of thing, I've still got six of these lots of running to go. And actually sometimes I think just zoning out and going, right, 18 minutes jogging, let's just get it done, is easier. Let us know.
And actually not to kind of poo-poo our own training plan or anything, but I think you can take those blocks with a pinch of salt. I don't think you should use them to like self-flagellate. Like if it's two lots of 10 and it's, you've got a hill in it or something it's just feeling tough, that you need to be running. Well, like the whole concept is that you need to be running for like 20 minutes basically all told. But that doesn't mean you have to do it all in one go. Right, so you can employ the methods you were using earlier on to do that 20 minutes. So if you get to 6 minutes and you're like, fucking hell, I'm absolutely crackered, just walk for 30 seconds and then carry on.
Dread, isn't it? Especially when it's in the first, because the first couple of runs I did last week, I was feeling knackered in the first 8 minutes, even despite having Beyonce's new songs on.
Of course.
On repeat. And I was like, oh shit. Like what happens now? But I guess, like you were saying, Hol, there's also a psychological thing of when you've only got two reps of something, you're like, I only have to do this twice. It's not, oh my God, I'm knackered off in my first one and I've got eight more to go. It's like, oh, you've just got to push yourself twice. Sorry, I knocked everything on my laptop.
Sorry, Dave. I'm very with you. I think that whatever as they get a bit longer, whichever mind games help, then the better.
I did find the 3 minutes walking quite tough, like we anticipated. And I do think that that's why the last run of doing the 8 minutes, 2 minutes walking was better, because I had to amp myself up less to get going again. So I'm feeling good about that. These are 2 minute and then down to 90 seconds. I think I feel good about that. It's just about the getting up to 10 minutes after 8 minutes was hard. Like you said, see how it goes.
The other thing I was going to say is bear in mind how you felt on that run, where the first kind of half of it was tricky, because the truth that runners tend not to tell each other, especially people that are just beginning to run, is that the first mile is always, always awful. So that first half, and it's, you know, when you're, if you're going for a 20 minute run, it means that half of your run is going to be shit, because you're, that half of your run is your warm up.
Yeah.
And so you're not properly kind of like in the zone, in the running zone, feeling kind of strong and fit and everything until you get to about 10 minutes. But you have to get through that first 10 minutes.
I find it even more as well. I find it even more. I tend to find that, sorry, this is probably not helpful, but I tend to find that my first mile, I'm still in the vibe of being like, ha, 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 running so easy. I can't believe I ever make such a meal out of this. This is fine. And then once I hit the end of that mile, I'm like, okay, let's go. Second one. And then mile two is always my worst mile because I've lost all of the joy of like, this is easy. I love it. Why would it? And then I have, it's sort of like my first mile is my second mile normally.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to agree with you there, but I think that's because it's, for me, it's 0.7 miles down to the London Road. So my first mile is downhill always, always. So yeah, going to my second mile and it's like, God, this is really, really like loads harder than the first one. Why is that?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, because I'm actually having to do some fucking work and not use gravity as my...
Use gravity forever. I love going downhill. It just feels so good and you just feel great at the end of it.
Do you know what? Do you know, that's actually why running a long run, why it's really nice to have some hills in there. Where like you might, in your head, you might think it's much better if it's pancake flat. It's kind of not. It's lovely to have hills because you always have the down bit. The down bit is always, like there was something this week and it was talking about which of the kind of six-star marathons, which of them are the hardest? And this is like New York, Tokyo, Berlin, Boston, London, and the Chicago, other one that I've forgotten. And they said that Berlin was the easiest because it was pancake flat and New York was the hardest. That made me feel loads better, actually, I must admit. But they said New York was the hardest because of all the bridges, because you have to go up and down. And I would have to concede that is true. It did feel harder than doing London, but it had much more joyous moments because of the downhills. The downhills are just amazing. They replenish you in a way that just running continuously on the flat can't.
No, life is meant to be a roller coaster, as Ronan Keating,
Ronan Keating
said. Yeah. And you just got to ride it.
All night long.
But isn't it more of a teacup ride than a roller coaster? I think, I can't remember who said that. I put it to you, Ronan Keating, that life is more of a teacup ride.
Yeah, that life is more of a teacup ride where you're just being spun around until you vomit out the sides.
Yes, that's very true. I don't feel much going forward.
So Hull, what about for everyone else? What about, are they going into week... nine.
They're about to embark on week nine, which is just wild to me.
Penultimate week.
I know. So the penultimate week for the Niners, the week Niners, it's very easy to read out this week because you've just got 25 min run, 28 min run.
Ooh, getting there.
Nice.
Getting super close.
Getting there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, it might be worth looking at pace for anybody who's been following the plan. I think it's unlikely that you would be running running 5K in that time if you've been walk running and taking our advice to not go out too fast. But if you have been a super, super speedy bunny this whole time, it might be worth looking at distance at that point because you could be doing...
You could have
bloody done it. Yeah. I certainly all wouldn't end. Have done. No, I wouldn't have done.
You know, the one thing that we've not really spoken about is how we're going to celebrate at the end and how you are going to be doing your 5K. I don't mean celebrate with I mean celebrate how we're going to do the 5K. I could see that your face, Hull, was like, what we're going to drink and eat at the end of all of this.
That was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, what are we doing then? Are we all going out? Are we all going Alton Towers for the day?
The two mindsets. We're just like mice in a cage, aren't we? How do we punish ourselves further? But how do we... Anyway, because we're all, the three of us, we're going to get together, aren't we? at either, are we going to do it at week 10 or a little bit after? I think we're going to do it a little bit afterwards, aren't we? And
week 10 and for Cara, I think it is 10. Towards the end of her 10th week.
Yes.
Amazing.
So it might be a bit after everybody else has done theirs, but based on where Cara is in the plan at the moment, we haven't yet decided, have we? I think we thought that we might do a park run. There's a local run group that does a 5K around the park, but also it might actually just work out in terms of our busy schedules to just do our own 5K and plan a little route and have a joyous time together and end up in a coffee shop or something.
Yeah.
We
could do it before breakfast, couldn't we? And go and have a coffee and a cinnamon roll or something.
Just getting even more overexcited. We could get a big roast, or we could do like an epic brunch somewhere really nice.
Oh yeah, that'd be really nice.
I mean, the only thing is that we've talked about potentially doing that in Bath, haven't we? But yeah, I haven't handled hills such as Bath yet, so maybe that's something.
Oh, we'll do it on the flat. We'll do it on the flat.
Yeah, there are some flat bits, Car. Generally, though, it involves having to have a body of water to your left at all times.
Yes, canal path, here we come.
Yeah, it's very dull.
I'm going to
do that in a bit.
Yeah. It's fun.
Oh, but I'm looking forward to that. It'd be nice, won't it? The three of us running together. It'd be really nice.
Has anybody actually got any?
To be with you guys and
sorry,
feel horrible about myself and how great you guys are already.
No. Don't. No, honestly,
no. You saw me on Tuesday, right? Did I look like that gazelle? No, I did not.
I look
very, very tired.
And it's all about, as we've talked about before, like I think often we just like maintain one pace and we're like, that's our pace. And that's absolutely fine, especially if you're a beginner and especially if you're just finding your feet with everything. But really, Esther and I are both training for a half marathon at the moment and we should be doing some easy runs. So worst case scenario, Car, if you are slower than us, then that will be great for us. And if you're not, then that can be a tempo run. It will all work itself out and be absolutely fine. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a social run. We're supposed to chat and then go and get.
I don't know, there'll be much chatting on my side, but I'll let you guys entertain me.
Yeah, we'll do that thing of asking those open questions. So you say to us, tell us about your life.
Place this cave.
Yeah,
do all of that. And then we'll end with some smashed avocado somewhere. And
what do you think happens after death?
No, but don't ask me that because committed atheist, I'm going to be like, no, nothing. Next question.
See, I can have that question all day. I'm into it. So but then we'll follow with avocado.
Avocado.
Perfect.
Love it. Well, thanks, guys. I will let you know if I die doing 10 minutes next
week. Yay, please do. Good luck, Cara. You'll be amazing.
Good luck. Go
carry on sweating
and slay.
I will carry on sweating. I will wear it as a badge of honour.
Do.
Yeah, let's. That's the tagline of this episode.
Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you very much for listening, as always, guys. Lots and lots of love and support as you go into this next week. Obviously, also, a huge shout out to those of you who may have got an injury or are not really feeling the desire to run at the moment. If you're listening to this and you're not running and you've lost your mojo a bit, then I hope that it can inspire you to keep going, keep persevering, obviously, while taking your health in best interest as well. Massive good luck with whatever you've got on this week, whether that's week 9 of the training plan, whether you're a little further behind, or whether that's something completely different. All the very best. As per, check out the show notes if you want to find us elsewhere. We've got the other pod that we do. If you've not heard that yet, what are you doing? There's the magazine as well. It's a great time to subscribe at the moment. We've still got that fantastic deal where you get the free 5K guide. So do check that out as well. Womensrunning.co.uk. We got loads of info on there. If you've never checked it out, now's your time. And of course there is our 5K newsletter. There are a couple of weeks left on that. Though we are coming towards the end of it. But if you have subscribed to that, I hope you've enjoyed. It's been great fun putting it together. Anyway, goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.